5:05 was Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Victor Beatty reporting. U.S. and Russian pilots to avoid miscalculation in the skies over Syria. The United States and Russia announced Tuesday they've reached a memorandum of understanding, providing a framework for both countries' aircraft to maintain a safe distance from each other during air operations over Syria. Peter Cook is a Pentagon spokesman.
These protocols include maintaining professional airmanship at all times, the use of specific communication frequencies, and the establishment of a communication line on the ground. The U.S. and Russia will form a working group to discuss any implementation issues that follow.
The agreement covers all types of aircraft, including drones. Cook said this is not part of a broader agreement with Moscow, adding its strategy in Syria is counterproductive and makes the civil war worse. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights Tuesday said Russian airstrikes killed at least 45 people in Latakia province Monday. The U.N. Security Council Tuesday condemned the recent upsurge of violence in Central African Republic, indicating some attacks may amount to war crimes. The country has been in the throes of a deadly sectarian violence since the Muslim Salika Alliance launched a coup in 2013. The statement was read by the current council president, the ambassador to Spain. He spoke through an interpreter.
The Security Council strongly condemns such violence, including all attacks against civilians, intercommunal violence, targeted violence against women and children, lootings of humanitarian premises, and attacks against United Nations peacekeepers.
The council said those responsible for abuses and violations of international human rights and humanitarian law must be held to account, threatening to impose sanctions on those responsible. The statement noted significant progress in voter registration ahead of elections scheduled by year's end. This is VOA News. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon Tuesday warned against any misuse of force as he embarked on a two-day diplomatic effort to calm nearly 3 weeks of unrest that has left at least 8 Israelis and more than 40 Palestinians dead. Mr. Ban also spoke of the danger of allowing an escalation of the violence into a religious conflict with potential regional implications.
I'm here to encourage and support all efforts to lower tensions and prevent the situation from spinning out of control. If we do not act fast, the dynamics on the ground may only get worse, with serious repercussions in and beyond Israel and Palestine. It is not too late to avoid a broader crisis.
The UN chief met Israeli officials Tuesday and is to meet Palestinian leaders Wednesday. The latest violence has been linked in part to Palestinian suspicions Israel plans to change access to the holy site in Jerusalem known to Muslims as the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Temple Mount to Jews. Israel denies that. President Obama says he looks forward to working with Canada's Prime Minister-designate Justin Trudeau, whose Liberal Party won majority status in parliamentary elections Monday. White House spokesman Josh Earnest said Mr. Obama congratulated the young Canadian leader during a phone call Tuesday.
There are a whole range of issues where the United States and Canada worked effectively together to advance the interests of both of our countries. Obviously, Canada made a substantial and important contribution to our counter-ISIL coalition. We know that Canada has been an important part of making the Trans-Pacific Partnership a reality in advance of the Paris climate talks.
Mr. Trudeau, son of the late Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, has also campaigned on promises to bring Canadian warplanes home and end his country's combat missions in Iraq and Syria. He's promised to keep military trainers in place, however. Chinese President Xi Jinping ended the first of his four-day state visit to Britain Tuesday as guest of honor at a banquet hosted by Queen Elizabeth at Buckingham Palace. The Queen called the visit a milestone in bilateral ties.
Mr. President, your visit is a defining moment in this very special year for our bilateral relationship. I'm confident that it will serve to highlight the sincerity and warmth of our friendship and to strengthen relations between our countries for many years to come.
Mr. Xi earlier told Parliament both countries would embrace an even brighter future. His visit will lift the friendly ties between the countries to a new height. A new study says a drug-resistant malaria parasite from Southeast Asia can infect African mosquitoes. The journal Nature Communications warned the discovery suggests Africa is more at risk for drug-resistant malaria infections. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voices of America. I'm James Boate in Washington. Today is Wednesday, October 21st, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Tanzania's main opposition Chadema party is confident it will win Sunday's presidential election.
This is a very exciting moment for my country, for Tanzania, and for Africa, because Tanzania and Africa is going to witness the fall of one of the oldest parties in Africa on Sunday, the 25th of October.
Freeman Oboye is chairman of the Chadema party. The World Food Program says hundreds of thousands of people are going hungry in Mauritania. South Sudan's justice minister introduces a bill in parliament to amend three articles in the country's constitution. And Congo-Brazzaville's opposition vows to block Sunday's referendum that would extend President Nguesso's stay in power.
All the people you want to protest around all the towns in Congo, no job tomorrow, no job until Sunday. We want to stop the referendum.
Guy Kimfusia Romey is president of the Union for Democracy and Republic Party in Congo-Brazzaville. Traditional healers are key to stamping out Ebola in Guinea. And a photo festival in Mali's capital aims to turn the page on the country's conflict. Those stories plus Mark Oldman's Post and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The chairman of Tanzania's main opposition Chadema party is confident the opposition will win Sunday's presidential election over the Chama cha Mapinduzi party, which has ruled Tanzania since independence in 1964. Freeman Mbowe says Tanzanians are fed up with what he calls the failed policies of the ruling party and want change. He says the only worry the opposition has is the independence of the Electoral Commission. Mbowe says the opposition would be willing to concede defeat if that would be the verdict of Tanzanians in a free and transparent voting process.
This is a very exciting moment for my country, for Tanzania, and for Africa, because Tanzania and Africa is going to witness the fall of one of the oldest parties in Africa on Sunday, the 25th of October. We have been conducting a very successful election campaign, unfortunately, under the umbrella of the National Electoral Commission, which is not independent, which takes order from the government of the day. But nevertheless, people have decided, and if all goes well, we are going to defeat one of the oldest parties in Africa on Sunday.
You sound like a very confident person.
Yes, I should feel confident because we are seeing, you know, the way the campaign trails is going on. And we are seeing the support of the masses, particularly the youth, one. But two, the ruling CCM party have done everything wrong. The mismanagement of this economy, this country has remained in poverty for the last 54 years of independence. People have no reason to vote CCM back into office again. And people are crying and craving for change. And change is what we're going to provide.
When you mentioned the Electoral Commission, you didn't sound very reassuring about that. So I just wanted to ask you, are you satisfied with the level of preparations made thus far by the National Elections Commission?
Of course we are not. We are not. You see, there are a number of issues that are happening here in Tanzania at this point in time, and this worries us. If we have any reason to have any worry, it's because of the non-independency of the Electoral Commission. It's only 48 hours ago that they issued the permanent voters register for the first time, and we have realized a lot of flaws and mistakes in this permanent voters register. That is point number one. But again, point number two, all the senior official of the Electoral Commission has been changed in the span of last 4 weeks. Reason being, the government of the day, the government of CCM party, brought into the office people from the intelligence service to actually supervise the process and the election, and this gives us a lot of worry. So if we have any worry between now and the 25th of October, it's certainly going to be the Electoral Commission.
On the Electoral Commission, the Commission has announced that on election day, people should not stay near the polling stations.
This is absolutely madness. Because you see, what the law says is if you not stay closer to the polling station, but you can, you know, after 200 meters, everybody is allowed to. But the Electoral Commission says you come and vote. After voting, you go back home and sleep. And we don't believe that we should go home and sleep because we want to see the whole process unfolding. This is a moment of rejoicing in Tanzania. This is a moment that people have been dreaming of, that we are getting away with the old party that has failed this country miserably. Now, we know if we decide not to be vigilant around the polling stations, these people will rig, will bring in fake ballot boxes, they'll bring in fake votes, and this has been the work of the commission for the last many elections. So if the laws allow us to stay closer by 200 meters or so, we should be able to stay there. Why do they want to chase us away? We don't see the logic, we don't see the reason. The only reason that you can establish is these people want to rig.
I know you are confident of winning. What happens if your party does not win? You prepare in the interest of peace to concede to whoever wins?
We will concede defeat if we think the whole process has been transparent, has been free and fair. And that's why we think there were a few days left to the polling day. If the National Electoral Commission, if the police and all other armed forces act responsibly, and we find that the people of Tanzania have decided to vote any party in power in a transparent manner, yes, we'll concede defeat.
Freeman Oboy is chairman of Tanzania's main opposition Chadema party. He was speaking with me from the capital, Dar es Salaam. Opposition parties and civil society groups in Congo-Brazzaville are vowing to block Sunday's referendum that would extend President Denis Sassou Nguesso's stay in power. Guy Kimfusi Arumi, president of the Union for Democracy and Republic Party in Congo-Brazzaville, says people have been told to stay away from work until Sunday. This comes after security forces opened fire on Tuesday on protesters. The referendum, if passed, would abolish a two-term limit for presidents and an age limit of 70 for presidential candidates. Opposition leader Kimfusi Arumi said the people will not accept President Nguesso's third-term bid.
We want to manifest today, but police object that we meet all the people who want to manifest with us. And so people have been fired by the police. The police try to fight our militants with a gun, real gun, that our militants fall, have been dead.
Four of your people are dead?
Yes, yes. Without arms, without gun, three people have been fired by the police.
What is the purpose of the protest?
The protest that Mr. Sassou have tried to change constitution. We don't like to change constitution. And we said to him, he stops to try to do referendum. We will manifest until Sunday.
The president wants to have the referendum so that perhaps he is doing a good job and he wants to stay on.
No, no good job, bad job. And constitution not permit to him to continue. You have to stop.
So are you saying that you are going to continue to protest?
We will continue to protest until Sunday.
Did you get permission from the police to protest?
Yes, yes, but the police don't like. We continue to meet all the people who want to protest around all the towns in Congo. No job tomorrow, no job until Sunday, no job.
Oh, so you are calling on the people not to go to work?
Yes, tomorrow they don't job, they don't work after tomorrow. Until Sunday, we want to stop the referendum.
Guy Kimfusi Arumi is president of the Union for Democracy and Republic Party of Congo Brazzaville. He was speaking with me from the capital, Brazzaville. Today is Wednesday, October 21st. And you're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Please send your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Let's give a shout out to listener of Radio Lake Victoria in Kisumu, Kenya, and Radio Hot Cocoa in Bamenda, Cameroon. Daybreak Africa time is coming up at 15 minutes past the hour. The World Food Program says hundreds of thousands of people in Mauritania are going hungry, and malnutrition rates among young children are rising at an alarming rate. As Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva, the WFP says it urgently needs $11 million to assist Mauritania.
The World Food Programme says Mauritania is bearing the brunt of reoccurring food crises, chronic malnutrition and instability spilling over from neighbouring Mali. About 50,000 refugees from northern Mali are included among the 540,000 particularly vulnerable people the agency needs to assist. Unfortunately, WFP coffers are almost empty. Spokeswoman Bettina Lusher tells VOA the agency only has enough money to provide school lunches to impoverished children for 2 months.
That's one of the big points that we always have. It's a crucially important social safety net to have school meal programs, because that's often, in some cases, the only meal these children get.
Lucia says the increase in the number of children suffering from malnutrition is very worrisome. Latest figures show 14% of children under 5 have acute malnutrition, 4% higher than last year. And in some regions of the country, the data finds rates as high as 28%. That is almost double the World Health Organization's critical emergency threshold. Lucia says children who are acutely malnourished are likely to have lifelong debilitating consequences.
If children under 1,000 days in their life do not get good nutrition, their brains will never develop as other healthy children would. They will never be as productive as other healthy children would.
The World Food Programme reports nearly 1 million people in Mauritania, about 1 in 4, do not have enough food to eat to lead healthy lives. Of these, it says, more than 200,000 are severely food insecure and need immediately life-saving assistance. WFP says female-headed families are the worst off. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
South Sudan's justice minister on Tuesday introduced a bill in parliament that would amend 3 articles of the country's constitution. One of the amendments would change the number of states from 10 to 28, and the others would allow President Salva Kiir to appoint state governors and lawmakers respectively. Philipton Allure reports from Juba for VOA.
South Sudan Justice Minister Paulino Wanawila introduced the amendment bill to the national legislature. Wanawila says he has approved an amendment that will incorporate the 28 states as created by presidential order earlier this month.
Since the President of the Republic has responded to the popular demand for further decentralization by creating more states, bringing the number of the states in the Republic of South Sudan to 28 states, it is therefore necessary that certain articles of the Transitional Constitution 2011 are to be amended to meet this new extension of decentralized system of governance.
Under that new system, Wanawila says, the Article 162, which states that the territory of South Sudan is composed of 10 states governed on the basis of decentralization, will be amended to say 28 states. Also, Article 164, which states that the members of state assemblies shall be comprised of the current elected members, will be amended to say that the president will appoint some MPs because of the new states that have been created. A third article to be amended is Article 165, which states that a governor for each state shall be elected by the residents of that state. Wanawila says President Kiir will now appoint all state governors under the order he instituted 3 weeks ago. Onyuti Adigo, the minority leader in parliament, tried to halt the tabling of the amendment bill, saying there is a case pending before the Supreme Court on the president's order.
It is a practice in this house that anything in the court is not supposed to be deliberated by this house until the court takes a decision.
Adigo says this latest move contradicts the constitution and the agreement signed by the president on August 26 and rectified by South Sudanese lawmakers last month. Information Minister Michael Makwe disagrees. Makwe says the opposition leader has not done his homework.
It is unfortunate that the leader of minority doesn't know what he's talking about.
Makwe says Adigo is violating assembly's procedure by raising objection to tabling the bill. He says such debates are only permitted during parliamentary deliberations. After tabling the bill, Speaker Manasseh Magog Rundial sent the amendment bill to the Committee of Legislation for study. After 30 days, it is expected to come back to the full parliament for debate. The ruling SPLM party has a clear majority in the parliament and the amendment is expected to pass easily. For VOA News, I am Philip Thonaleu in Juba.
Guinea is the last country in West Africa where people are still getting sick from Ebola. VOA's Chris Stein reports on how health authorities are relying on traditional healers to help in the fight against their disease.
Mori Karoma says he will cure what ails you from the van he parks along a busy roadside in Guinea's capital, Conakry. Karoma offers traditional medicines to treat common ailments, even if the ailment is fever, one of the first symptoms of the Ebola virus.
For those who are complaining of having fever and they come to my place, what we normally give them is this one and that one over there in the bottle.
Guinea was the first country in West Africa in which Ebola broke out, and the last country in the region where people are still getting the virus. The virus killed more than 11,300 people, mostly in Guinea and in nearby Sierra Leone and Liberia. While its neighbors have managed to get rid of the disease, two new Ebola cases were reported last week in Guinea. After the virus broke out in 2013, the national coordinator of Guinea's fight against Ebola, Dr. Sakoba Keita, said the government realized if it was going to beat the disease, it needed to get traditional healers on board.
More than 10 of them had already died because of their treating of Ebola cases. Mainstream science doesn't support the idea that traditional healers can treat Ebola. So we met with the traditional healers, and we trained around 1,500 of them in measures of prevention and detection in Ebola cases.
Mamadi Nabe is president of Guinea's Union of Traditional Healers. He says before the government intervened, most traditional doctors did not have the equipment to protect them from a disease that is transmitted through infected bodily fluids.
Before, we were sensitized. We didn't have the hygiene kits. We didn't have infrared thermometers. We didn't have gloves.
Thanks to the sensitization efforts, this Ebola treatment center in Conakry is nearly empty. But as the recent cases show, the country still has much to do to defeat the disease entirely. Chris Stein for VOA News, Conakry, Guinea.
Mali's photo festival, known as Bamako Encounters, is returning to the capital after being cancelled in 2013 amid the post-coup political crisis and militant occupation of the north. Artists say this year's festival is a chance to turn the page and refocus on the positive. Katerina Hoyer reports for VOA from Bamako.
The theme of this year's Bamako Photo Biennale is Telling Time. Malian artist and documentary photographer Seydou Camara says this event is a chance to revive Mali's image. He says there's the hospitality and kindness towards strangers, the sun, the architecture, and the feeling that everything is possible. That's the Mali we as photographers need to show. Camara is showing work he shot in Timbuktu before the crisis. The city's historic architecture and ancient manuscripts were threatened by Islamist militants who occupied the north for 9 months in 2012 and 2013. Camara's images show the stacks of crumbling papers that local librarians would later smuggle to Bamako for safekeeping. Most of the mausoleums were destroyed and have only just now been rebuilt. Created in 1994, Bamako Encounters has become a key event for Malian African photography. The centerpiece is a group exhibition featuring 39 artists from countries in Africa, among them Mali, South Africa, Ghana and Nigeria. Works are shown at the National Museum and around the city. This year's festival lets the visitors explore the archive of Bamako's many photo studios, including that of legendary Malian photographer Malik Sidibe, famous for his black and white portraits of youth and nightlife in the 1960s and 70s. Seydou Camara says Sidibe remains a touchstone. He says, Malik showed a vibrant youth. It's a work we need to continue, even if we don't do exactly like him. Photo studios can still be found all over Bamako, but their importance as incubators for young artists is diminishing. High-quality camera phones are increasingly affordable, and more Malians are using mobile phone applications like Instagram and Hipstamatic. This year's festival plans to incorporate work from the public. The project is called 1,384 Days, the period between the start of fighting in the north and the opening of Bamako Encounters on October 31st. People asked to contribute photos taken during the time. Selected images will be displayed on a photo walk in Bamako's National Park. This is Katerina Hoye for VOA News in Bamako.
It's 25 minutes past the hour time now for Daybreak Africa Sports. Here is Mark Ulmer in Johannesburg, South Africa. Very good Wednesday morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, James. In our Daybreak Africa Sports News, we begin with football. Defending champions Nigeria Golden Eaglets went on the rampage, beating hosts Chile 5-1 in their Group A tie in the coastal city of Viña del Mar on Tuesday. Having won their opening match against the United States of America, the Golden Eaglets have qualified for the knockout phase with a game in hand. In Group B action, South Korea pipped Guinea 1-0 in La Serena. Today, Wednesday, Mali engaged Ecuador in a Group D encounter in Talca. In Switzerland, reigning Africa Footballer of the Year Yahya Toure of the Ivory Coast is among the nominees shortlisted for the 2015 FIFA Ballon d'Or Award, the World Football Governing Body FIFA disclosed in Zurich on Tuesday. Toure is the only African among the 23 nominees. Staying in Zurich, the elections of a new FIFA president will go ahead as scheduled on the 26th of February next year, the FIFA Executive Committee confirmed on Tuesday. All candidates who seek to contest the FIFA presidential elections have until next Monday, the 26th of October, to submit all relevant documents to FIFA. Still in Zurich, FIFA's Independent Ethics Committee, at its discretion, is now allowed to publish more information about their ongoing proceedings, FIFA disclosed on Tuesday. The FIFA Executive Committee sought the crucial amendment of Article 36 of the FIFA Code of Ethics to permit the Ethics Committee to shed more light on their work in the spirit of transparency. FIFA is at the center of an unprecedented high-profile investigation affecting several prominent members of the organization, including FIFA President Sepp Blatter. Turning to athletics, the city of Tampere in Finland is the only candidate bidding to stage the 2018 World Junior Athletics Championship, the World Athletics Governing Body IAAF disclosed in Monaco on Tuesday. The IAAF revealed that the Danish capital Copenhagen has applied to host the 2018 World Half Marathon Championship, an event they first staged last year. The cities of Sopot in Poland and Valencia in Spain are also bidding to stage the event. The IAAF will name the successful bids in Monaco next month. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports News. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good day. Here's our listener mail for this Wednesday morning, October 21st.
Good morning, Daybreak Africa. As Nigerians have widely accepted President Muhammadu Buhari's anti-graft war, I want to call on the extension of the war to the state and local government joint account system in the country, because the purpose for which local government allocation from the federation account is meant for is no longer visible as envisaged by law. Albert Alagbo, former Canadian Federal Polytechnic in Ebonyi State, Nigeria. Thank you.
We thank you, listener, for your comment, and please send your viewpoints to DaybreakAfrica at voanews.com. Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. Security forces opened fire in the Republic of Congo on Tuesday as they clashed with protesters who opposed a bid by President Denis Sassou Nguesso to extend his rule. The French news agency reports that at least six people were hospitalized with gunshot wounds after confrontations in the capital, Brazzaville. That is it for this Wednesday, October 21st edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer David Vandy, reporters Peter Clotty and Ricky Stryak, as well as post-editor Mark Oman, along with our engineer Jim Harmon, I'm James Barty in Washington, wishing all of you in Africa a very good day.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. voanews.com.
Do you love music from Africa and the world? VOA has the latest hits, interviews with the artists, and we are glad to take your requests. The Voice of America has what you're looking for. We have music shows to please everyone. Join us on the radio or on the internet to listen day or night. Go to voanews.com and voaafrica.com and click on your favorite program. Just follow your ears. Music from Africa and the world. We've got it on VOA. On VOA.